Tony, the Biden administration, lame duck though it may be, is still attempting to get a number of federal judges confirmed. Can you give us an overview on what the Biden administration is trying to accomplish in the last few weeks of this Senate session?
So the Democrats have been doing this kind of thing since the Harry Reid days when Senate leader Mitch McConnell in 2013 warned them, if you guys go with the nuclear option, if you have a 51-vote majority, and you decide this is going to be the way that you get judges through, members of the American federal judicial system, you will regret it, and you may regret it sooner than you think. And what you have seen since then is kind of a back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, in which in lame duck Democrat administrations, they try very desperately to push through as many federal judges as they can. And those include the federal district judges and then the lower circuit court judges. Now, here's the good news. Unlike the 2016 into the 2017 lame duck of President Barack Obama, in this Joe Biden lame duck administration, they don't have as many open holes to fill in which you can bring forward all of the major federal district judges, which the Biden administration has brought forward a considerable number of basically social activists to fill these judicial roles. So it's not as large of a scale, but it certainly is notable because there are, at least at the present time, enough on the Democrat side of the aisle to perhaps leave their majority and come over to vote against them alongside Republicans. This would be like outgoing Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia. So there is perhaps a more of an opportunity for Republicans to fight these judicial nominations, but with Schumer still the Senate Majority Leader for the last few months, it's not as easy for them to fight these judicial nominations in the lame duck period as easy as it was for them when they had the majority in 2016.
Are there any parliamentary maneuvers? I know the Senate has a lot of arcane rules as to how you can either get things done or block things. Is there anything
Robert's Rules of Orders on steroids.
Yes. Anything Republicans can do to maybe slow this process down until the new Senate is sworn in?
You absolutely can. I mean, there are about 15 different ways to filibuster in the United States Senate, which it's kind of funny. I remember one particular side of the aisle who's trying to get these judicial nominations through now saying that they wanted to do away with the filibuster. And now it's very funny. I don't hear any of the kind of conversation about that. So there's a lot of different ways about filibustering that Republicans could go about doing so. They could also bring up as many questions in the judicial hearings as time is allotted. If you finish on a certain kind of statement and some of the other questions have been entered into the record, then you can theoretically bring the nominee back the next day for another series of questions, but if there's already stuff on the docket, then that gets pushed back. There's a lot of kind of traffic jam style tactics that can be attempted. But that said, Schumer does have the ability to kind of swipe a lot of those flies out of his eyesight because the Senate Majority Leader does have a considerable amount of parliamentary power, which is honestly why we spend so much time talking about the Senate Majority Leader, even though the Vice President is technically the President of the Senate. Because of the parliamentary procedures, what the Senate Majority Leader says kind of goes.
I find it interesting. Senate Majority Leader Schumer has been, in the last week or two, since Donald Trump has won the presidential election, Republicans have swept back into control of the U.S. Senate, he's been talking a lot more about getting along and bipartisanship. Do you find that to be a rather striking change of tone from the last few years?
Absolutely. I find it remarkable whenever there is an election change and the party that lost suddenly becomes all about working together. But in specific, over the last three major elections, in which case the parties have shifted power, I do not recall the Republican leader coming out and suggesting if they had just lost control, well, it's time for everyone to work together and good old Shucksy Doodles handshake and festival. I don't really recall that. And I did actually look before I answered that question. This is not just hot air. As far as the Democrats are concerned, yes, of course, they're all coming out now and saying, well, we really should work together. Clearly, there is something going on. And it's kind of difficult, even in the deepest blue districts and states, for them not to say so. Because if you look at New York City and New Jersey, for instance, they swung massively towards Donald Trump in the last election in ways that we have not seen major metropolitan areas do so since. Actually, I'm having trouble. I think since like the 1950s, like since Eisenhower days, we haven't seen New York City start to swing in large portions for Republican policy. So it's a very interesting place for some of these leadership Democrat positions, because if you're a major player in a party, your job is to get members of that party elected. And it's not going to do them any favors if the Democrats somehow become less relevant than the Whigs of old.
Well, we all know what happened to the Whig Party. Why is it, Tony, so important that we try to put a halt to these judicial nominees and give President-elect Trump more say in them? What's so important about these federal district judges and the federal bench? What's so important about that?
This is a great question, because it is a question many Americans have started to ask only in the last year or two. So Americans, for basically since the end of the Cold War, have not collectively cared about politics. They haven't, because the federal bureaucracy had become so large that regulations via federal agencies replaced the passing of laws from Congress, and basically we lived in under sort of an imperial Prussian-style administrative state. The head of the company may have been swapped out every once in a while, but as far as our technocracy was concerned, just meaning our series of systems that fed on itself, we never really got to see or elect those who were making big decisions on our lives. This became a critical problem for that technocracy in 2016, when Donald Trump, an outsider, came in and basically did his best impression of a bull in a china shop. And Americans were promised we would hate the bull in the china shop. Well, actually, we loved it, because regulations were released, the economy grew, freedoms increased, and then we sharply returned back to the Biden administration, and Americans started paying very close attention to the federal apparatuses that were passing these larger regulations. Now enters the court system. One of the biggest problems with the American education system, and I say this as a former teacher, is that we do a really bad job of explaining why each of the three federal branches is supposed to be equally as powerful and equally as important. We tell kids, well, this is where all the judges come from, and then we move on. Oh, no, no. Judges have an enormous amount, especially at the federal level, an enormous amount of power in this country to push back against it laws, to basically rescind the interpretation of certain court cases. So it doesn't matter if you have a huge voter referendum that says, hey, I really want there to be fracking, for example, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I think that we should expand that natural gas is important, that shale is important. If a federal judge who was appointed as a political activist by a particularly partisan administration gets their hands on that law, they can simply rule that it gets shut down. They can file an injunction. They can say, well, wait, I don't think this is constitutional. And there's really no check around them other than the next court higher up. And the real reason that it's important for people to watch these last few weeks under the Biden administration appointing these lame duck judges is that these will be people who for 5, 10, 20, 30 years are able to completely alter the American political system and legal framework just because they want to, because that's the nature of a judge under common law, right? They're supposed to be the magistrate. They're supposed to be the arbiter and the, maybe not the author, but the finisher of policy. They put the stamp of this is legally good and this is morally good on a piece of legislation. So they get to decide what the ruler is to measure the law. And so Americans desperately need to understand that these appointments from the U.S. Senate matter. Because if you don't pay attention to them, then it doesn't matter who passes a law if a judge simply snaps his fingers and overrules it.
We have been talking with Tony Kinnett, who is a syndicated radio host, also an investigative columnist with the Daily Signal. Tony, where can folks go to read your investigative columns?
You can find my stuff over at dailysignal.com. That's also where you can find links to both our podcast network as well as what radio stations and TV stations we might be on in your area.
Tony Kinnett from the Daily Signal. Tony, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, sir.